Right, today I'm talking to Luke Taylor, your Liberal Democrat MP for Sutton and Cheam and councillor for Sutton West and East Cheam in the Sutton Borough, and you're also a Lib Dem spokesman for London. So you've got lots of hats on. Welcome back to Radio Jackie, Luke.
Well, thank you very much. Well, one of those hats has been taken off now because I didn't stand for re-election as a councillor. So I am now unburdened, but most importantly, have an extra colleague in now taking my seat on the council. So I've got an even bigger team to help me out with keeping in touch with residents and casework.
Yeah. So firstly, congratulations on the Lib Dem results in Sutton, giving the Lib Dems a big majority. So what plans are there going forward for the borough that before the election you wouldn't be able to get into place?
Well, look, first of all, we're really proud of the work that we've done over the last 40 years in Sutton in running the council. And we're really grateful that residents have put their trust in us to continue to lead the council. It really was a question of whether they wanted the Lib Dems to continue working or whether a Tory reform coalition of some sort could pull together enough seats to take control. And they resoundingly said, actually, no, we want the Liberal Democrats to keep working. But what can we do that we couldn't before? I think when you have a majority, you tend to be able to work the things that you think need to happen into reality. What we will be able to do, the difference it will make, is now because we've got in my constituency, we've got all 27 councillors, and across the borough, we've got a Liberal Democrat councillor in every ward. What you will have then is Liberal Democrats responding to casework issues, working with the two MPs, and hopefully see a bit more of an efficient resolution of people's challenges. In Sutton, we're really proud that no matter which party have councillors in the ward, they get to decide what happens in the local area. So most of the time, that's things like 20 mile per hour zones, school streets, changes to parking. So that's down to the local councillors. And even though it was a Lib Dem council for the last 40 years, if you had Conservative councillors, independent councillors, Labour councillors, they were able to make changes up as they saw fit. Now that we've got Lib Dem councillors in every ward, we'll be able to listen to residents and see what they want to see in their area. And it might be that we come to different decisions, come to different conclusions that another party might. So I don't think much will change, but it should see an easier working for the MPs' offices and the councillors in every ward.
That's good. Okay, moving on. This is with your London hat on. I understand the Lib Dems have demanded an investigation into the awarding of a sensitive data contract to US tech giant Palantir, citing grave national security risks. What are these risks with your London hat on that you think will could happen?
So Palantir is basically a dodgy American firm run by Peter Thiel, who has really troubling views on technology. He has really troubling views on how the rich should be able to impact the lives of everybody else. And philosophically, I'm really rather against that. I don't think it should be up to rich people, billionaires, to decide how people live their lives and how people are impacted by technology. So naturally, as a liberal, I'm against the impact of big money and billionaires. But Peter Thiel also is a far right winger who has really troubling views that are impacting how he's led that company. The impact, the kind of the direct impact, is that if you are spending a fortune on creating a technology, and that means sharing data with that company, it means creating a tool that they still own so that at the end of the contract, they can walk away and you lose access to the thing that you've invested in for years. There's issues with Palantir's tech in the NHS. A lot of campaigners worry that they will pay hundreds of millions of pounds, and then at the end of the deal, Palantir will say, well, actually, you don't own anything. You don't own a tool. You don't own the software that it's based on. And unless you then keep paying and paying and paying and paying, you lose any of the value of that investment. So, first of all, Palantir is a company that I don't want my data to be shared with. But secondly, the tangible product, the optimization of searching for facial recognition, for matching up DNA to previous crimes. And I think a lot of the application of the police software would be matching intelligence, spotting patterns. I don't want in a couple of years when that contract comes to an end for them to walk away and says, well, actually, no, you don't own anything. It was a subscription model, and then us be back at square one. So both from a philosophical perspective, but also a practical impact, I don't think it's what we should be doing. And so I do back Sadiq Khan blocking that contract. I think there's a lot of challenges around how he did that, and whether that was legal or not. But I think fundamentally, we don't want to be doing deals with these baddies.
Yeah, and Peter Thiel's well known for believing that it's companies, not politicians, that should rule the world, which is not a place we want to be, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, a natural liberal objection to the abuse of power, to big companies and big money impacting our politics.
Yeah. Let's talk about the growth, because obviously we have AI technology in this country. So do you not think, well, I'm sure that everybody does think that we should be growing our own AI technology and using our own. We have AI technology in the UK that could actually support the platforms that the NHS and the police need, don't we?
Yeah, I completely agree. We need to be open to technology. I don't think we can resist the development and the progress that we're seeing private companies being able to employ. We can't say that we've got to stop that from being used in our public services. But I do think we need to be quite skeptical about, first of all, the value of it, but also the safety of it. So any time that we enter into these agreements, we need to make sure that we're not having sensitive data being shared, that we are not losing control of how that data is used. And I think that the risk with Palantir is that they are not a good company with a company with an owner, with an operator or a founder, who still exercises huge power over the company, whose ethical standards are not quite what we'd need to see from somebody dealing with public data and public money.
Yeah, and they're well known to entice people into contracts by offering like a 3 month really cheap freebie, very cheap, and then lump it up. £50 million is what the police are going to.
Exactly. It's a real worry, and I think it was right to stop the contract when we have such capable firms here in the UK where that money can be invested in British jobs, it can be invested in pushing British technology forward so that we can all enjoy the benefits of the advances that AI can undoubtedly offer.
Yeah, and it's all about growth. Let's move on to you've recently accused the government of empty words after it refused renewal of negotiations with the EU in the King's Speech. They're doing bits and pieces, so I don't know if any of your constituents, I'm sure you're aware of, there's a new SPS sanitary and phytosanitary bill coming into force in May 2027, aimed to reduce border friction for animal and plant-based agri-food. So have you got florists dancing in the street at the idea that they'll get their flowers eaten more easily, or retailers who are trying to buy stuff from the, do they know about it, and will it make an impact on their livelihoods?
Well, what they should see is lower prices and any sort of removal of red tape, of unnecessary checks, unnecessary wait times with the EU is really positive. And it's not just the florists and the bakers and the supermarkets that will see that benefit. It should filter down to people's pockets. We've pushed for a full customs union to be discussed with the EU. That will unlock huge value of trade with the European Union that we lost after the Conservatives made this terrible, terrible Brexit deal. What we're talking about is sequential improvements in the deal that we have. We're not talking about rejoining, we're not talking about going backwards, we're talking about going forwards with finding improvements to the deal that we've got. And I think that's important, that we don't get caught up in ideology. We don't get caught up in red lines. And that's why we've been so disappointed by the government's stance, that they are pointing to the red lines that they were elected on 2 years ago, when actually the world has changed so dramatically over that period. We have Donald Trump. When the election was fought, we all expected Donald Trump to be a bitter memory. Unfortunately, he is now very much a very present threat to all of us. So those red lines are just out of date. And the government's empty words, and I'm pointing to Wes Streeting and also Andy Burnham, who jump up and down and say, well, we want closer relationship with the EU. And then when they get the chance to vote on it in Parliament, as we had last Wednesday, when the Lib Dems tabled an amendment to the King's Speech to negotiate a customs union with the UK, with the EU, Wes Streeting voted against it. So he'll, on one hand, use an interview to talk about close relations with the EU to boost his credibility amongst particular groups in the Labour Party, and then given the chance to vote on something to actually make it happen, he cowardly backs out. So again, empty words on things that will improve everybody's lives. It will reduce friction for trade. It will reduce the price of goods in the shops, and that's what everybody's concerned about, the cost of living. Actually have a chance to improve things, and they fail. And I think that's really the story of this Labour government, is they have opportunities to take steps forward and improve things, but they fail to do so. And it's why it's so frustrating as an opposition MP to see these chances be given up, and then they will go out and talk about how they want to do these things, but will not actually put their monies where their mouth is.
Yeah, I mean, we're never going to get back to where we were before when we were in the EU. The deal we had was an amazing deal, and there's lots
Exactly.
of figures being bandied about 40 billion a year to have a complete customs union with the EU, and then we've got the free movement of people in the fray, which we're saying we don't want. Do you think the government is doing the right thing about just doing these bespoke deals in bespoke areas and then trying to put them all together?
I think you need to be a more ambitious, and I think any steps forward to remove red tape, to improve a relationship, to get a better deal has to be welcomed. But you've got to do it in a size and in kind of a scale and an ambition that reflects the modern world. You know, nobody's talking about rejoining, nobody's talking about joining, because I think, as you said, Jackie, it's a really good point. The deal we had was so unique, was so brilliant. That's just not on offer. And what really frustrates me is the easy words of particularly the Green Party, of some in the Labour left, of rejoining, when that offer's just not on the table. And I do want to call them out and say, you know, you can say we want to rejoin, but that offer's not there. We need to work out what the journey is to improve the relationship, to get to the point where we've got the benefits that we saw in the past, but we're not going to negotiate on some other things. And I think the public aren't there yet. We haven't made the case. But again, easy words, you know, lazy words from politicians help no one. And a lot of the Green Party and a lot of the Labour Party are in the business of easy words, and people really shouldn't be fooled that they're in the interests of anyone.
We'll move on to that a little bit later. I just wanted to ask you firstly, I understand you met with the Bar Council in Croydon to talk about jury reform and late delivery of those in custody to court. How did that go?
Yeah, it was absolutely fascinating. So my background before I was elected was in engineering, and so you've got to reflect as an MP on the areas of your knowledge where you have gaps. And one of the big ones for me is about the law, about the legal system. So it was really welcome for the invitation from the Bar Council to come and meet them. We spoke for about an hour and a half over the first of all the proposed reforms to the legal system, and that's removing the right to choose a trial by jury in some cases. They were very sceptical about how that would provide the benefits that was promised. But actually, interestingly, they suggested that the changes they've made to sitting hours, so the government has allowed courts to sit for longer, and to use the existing estate that they have, has actually shown massive drop in waiting lists already. So they're pointing to the fact that the government seems to have provided the solution to the problem in cutting the wait times for legal cases, for your case to be heard, and for your, you know, you to get justice, or if you're a defendant to be, you know, tried and to find out your future. That's already seems to be working in a lot of cases, because they've allowed the funding to be given to courts to sit for longer. But the changes to the right to ask for a trial by jury has been also pushed by the government, which seems like an ideological thing rather than actually addressing the waiting time. So it was really brilliant to hear from them, like a really good example of advocacy from a professional organisation talking to MPs. A number of my colleagues also visited over the last few weeks. And it's important that we as MPs listen, because again, we're not experts. MPs are elected to understand issues and then to take decisions on their residents' behalf to kind of get the best for them. So I listened, and my understanding is that removing the right to trial by jury isn't just an ideological thing, which we're against, but they're also, it's not providing the benefits that the government like to think it
Lastly, upcoming Mayfield by-election and Andy Burnham. I heard Tony Blair on Radio
is.
4 on the Today programme produce a 5,600-word document on what how he thinks should be run. He talked about Labour need to look at their policies, not their politicians. You know, changing somebody at the top is not going to change the fact that they have inherited quite a an interesting resume from the last Conservative government. They are trying to work hard, but do you think having Andy Burnham in is going to make any difference?
Well, I think the big surprise for me was that anybody's interested in what Tony Blair thinks. But the what he said, ironically enough, was pretty much spot on. Look, just changing the Prime Minister without changing policies and their approach to fixing things, it's, you know, deck chairs on the Titanic time. But we've seen Keir Starmer make the wrong decision repeatedly because of his lack of political nous. The national insurance cost increases, the two-child benefit cap, his reluctance to show leadership on a customs union, for example. All of those things he's failed to do at the time where they are most critical. His lack of appetite for electoral reform, again, shows how fixing politics is just not at the top of the agenda when it really should be. So just changing the leader without working out what they've been doing wrong, I think, is a complete waste of time, and it's a distraction from the government being able to fix the things that we're all concerned about. So whether it is Burnham, whether it is Starmer, whether it is somebody else, whether we have, you know, 3 or 4 months of arguing over who should be sitting in the top seat, it's irrelevant if Labour don't change the approach and listen to the Liberal Democrats more, as I, of course, I would say. You know, we've pushed for removing the national insurance rise on small businesses. We pushed for this customs union. We've pushed for more investment in renewable energy so that we're able to provide energy security. We pushed for defence bonds so that we're able to pay for the improvements in our armed services that we so really need to stand up to or stand on our own compared to depending on the US. We need to be fixing our democracy and bringing in proper electoral reform so that every person's vote counts. And going back to the very top of the conversation in Sutton, where we won 51 of the 55 councillors, we know that the people who voted for the other parties feel like they've been let down, and they have by the electoral system. We need a proportional system so that people feel like their votes count, so that they'll become more engaged and actually listen, and politics has a chance to be done differently. So all of those things need to happen for us to see the improvements that we all want to see, but the current government are not have the appetite, they don't have the courage, and they don't have the leadership to do so. So without kind of a change in heart, a change in policy, it's just a distraction.
And the big problem they have, and I think Blair mentioned, is that they have a lot of Labour, young Labour backbenchers who don't really have the financial nous to back the right decisions.
Well, again, as an MP, you are employed, I suppose. You're elected to go and fill yourself with the knowledge, listen to the right people, get a position on an issue that you might not be an expert in. As you say, a lot of the backbench MPs have been a lot of the Labour backbench MPs have been party assistants. They've been union organisers. They've been people who haven't really, and I don't mean any slight by this, they haven't really had a proper job. And so when you've come into a position where you don't really have the reference point to running a small business, working in construction, in engineering, is in teaching, something like that, if you don't have that reference point, you're just less equipped to understand the issues that you're being presented with. I'm not going to say that they don't have the capability to do so, but I think a lot of the time they're just doing as they're told, as a good backbencher in the government party does. I think compare that to the Liberal Democrat MPs who are trying to be as constructive as we possibly can in opposition and pushing the government to go the way that we feel is more constructive, is more will be more productive for the economy, for people's job rights. I think that's the way you need to be doing it. So, I mean, you can't build that experience if you've not done it in the first place. But I think that the nature of the Labour Party is you get much more unprepared, much less effective MPs because of the nature of their selection process, rather than people who've come from industry, come from the military, come from the world of business, which I think is when you look at the Liberal Democrat MPs, the 72 we've got, the vast majority of us have got those experiences that you need to be able to take big decisions in a way that benefits our residents.
Yeah, you've actually echoed what Tony Blair said this morning in that,
Oh, don't say that. Don't say
I know,
that.
I'm sorry, but you actually did say that he said that the people in government should have business experience. They should ex have experience in all the areas to make those right financial decisions. I think that's it for now. We'll wind it up unless there's anything you want to talk about that you're aiming to do in the future few weeks.
I'm hoping to stay out of the heat. I'm hoping to keep on talking to residents, finding out all the concerns they've got, and supporting my 51 new councillors, or probably 35 brand new councillors, in getting the hang of serving the people of Sutton. And I'm really excited to be doing that.
Brilliant, Luke. Thanks very much indeed. I hope to, well, we speak to you soon, and I'm sure we'll be speaking on a different landscape after we hear what happens in Magherafield. Who
Brilliant.
knows?
Thank you, Jackie. Good to talk
Thank
to you
you,
as always.
Luke. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye.